There's a card back there on the back table for Jessica Sadik. She's under doctor's orders for bed rest until she has the baby. So if you guys want to sign the card tonight after service, that'd be good. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 2 here and Ephesians 4. Colossians 2 and Ephesians 4. Just a verse in each place. Colossians 2, 6. I lied. A couple verses in this place. Colossians 2, 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Keep your finger there for just a second, and let's just read one verse in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Talking about being established in the faith, it says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Let's pray. Well, Father, thank you for a chance to be here tonight. We've prayed all day. Each time we've prayed for folks that are under the weather, folks that are battling some sickness and so on. Think about the Williams, and I know that they're not the only ones that are sick. We're asking you to be with those folks, Lord. And once again, we're grateful to be able to be here tonight. We're thankful for the way that you've taken care of us and provided for our needs through the years as individual families and people, as well as just the church body as a whole. We count it an honor to be able to serve you and to be in this place doing what we're doing. We're thankful for 20-something years here, all told, of trying to hack out a field, a fruitful field for you. We appreciate what you've done with our field, Lord. Thank you for honoring a lot of the work that we've done. We pray that you'll continue to help us to labor fervently and keep our eyes on the prize here. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, over in Colossians chapter 2, verse 7, verse starts, and it says, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. Rooted and built up in Him. Rooted. That's the subject tonight, is rooted. And you get an idea of what rooted doesn't mean over in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, where it talks about, you know, you need to be rooted, basically, although it doesn't use that word. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, and by a bunch of cunning men who lie in wait to deceive. And make no mistake about it, there are men that do nothing but lie in wait to deceive you and me spiritually. It's just that way. Now, I don't know. I imagine most folks here in the upper Midwest, sometime when some straight line winds have blown through, or tornado or whatever, I suppose, an upturned tree is not something that's terribly unusual to our experience. And whenever the wind really gets a hold of one of those big old cottonwoods or a big oak tree or whatever and overturns it and upturns a good bit of the root system with it, you get a chance to realize just how extensive that root system is. The fact of the matter is that if that's what it's talking about, and that's what it's talking about, the time has certainly come now when, as Christianity as a whole is concerned, Christianity as a whole is just not very well rooted anymore. It's just really not. Truthfully, if truth be told, there's a lot of us that struggle probably more with Ephesians 4:14 than maybe we would care to admit. Let me ask you, I don't know, I was thinking about this today. I don't know if you ever thought about this. We run into folks all the time on doorsteps and stuff. You knock a door, and you find out here's an older person, somebody that's 70, 65 or 70, even older, come to the door, and they've been a Lutheran their whole life. And, you know, they were born and baptized in a Lutheran church, and basically they're still in the same Lutheran church where they were born and baptized. They may have been in that Lutheran church 45 or 50 years or so on. They've been through one pastor after another, one priest after another or whatever. And it's kind of funny that what your experience is, but I have met all kinds of people in these churches around here where Lutherans, Catholics, Methodists, or whatever, have been in the same church for most of their lives. Yet at the same time, it's kind of odd that when you start talking to independent, fundamental Baptist Bible believers, a lot of times they pick up and move off about every 2 or 3 years. Now, what I don't mean by that anything other than the fact that that I'm not saying by that that Lutherans and Catholics are better grounded and better rooted. What I am saying by that is that I believe the devil has interest in you more than he does them. They're not hurting anything rooted and grounded in the Lutheran or Catholic Church where they're going. They're just fine where they are as far as the devil's concerned. But when it comes to you being rooted and grounded, in not only in your church, but in your Christianity, now that's something else. And so I wanted to talk to you for a little bit about that. You know, it's kind of funny because you would think that Israel, who not only got to see God's miracles in Egypt, but who got to see God's miracles every day in the wilderness, you would think after 40 years they would go roaring into the land, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. But the fact is, as soon as they got into Canaan, they went whoring after other gods. Isn't that a sad thing? Here is the church that's living in the still in the days of the apostle, and still in the apostle's day, Paul's day, he says, as soon as I'm out of here, grievous wolves are going to enter in and start tearing up the flock. You would think that somebody living in the very shadow, in the very presence of the apostles, wouldn't have quite that same problem, but they did. And the truth is that a lot of times in independent Baptist, even King James churches, what you find a lot of times, bad doctrine, bad music, bad standards, bad attitudes, and so on. And I'd like to talk a little bit about that here tonight. Well, the first thing about this rooted thing is that then it's about stability. I mean, if there's something that roots do, it stabilizes the tree. That's a real duh, you know. But the other thing that they do, obviously, is provide nourishment. I don't know how many of you ever had opportunity to cut down a living oak tree, but we cut down 20-something of them, maybe even 30-something of them, when we were clearing land here to put this auditorium. And, of course, what we did then was we brought a guy in with a portable mill, and we milled down a bunch of the oak that day to the trim and the paneling and stuff. And it so happened that it did snow 8 inches that day, so that made it all the more enjoyable. But I'm telling you what, folks, handling wet oak planks all day long will wear you out. And one of the things you become aware of is the fact that there is a lot of water in that tree. There is a lot of water in that tree. And what that tells you is that root system is every bit as large and extensive as the part of the tree that you see above ground. We have a couple of huge trees in our yard, and if what is below ground is even equal to that which is above ground, there's no telling, you know, the actual mass of that tree. And that's what I'm getting at here for a little while. You know what? There is a lot that goes on beneath the ground. There's a lot that goes on that you can't see, and that's the same as a Christian. There is a lot that has to be going on inside for something to show up on the outside. And when the Bible talks about being rooted and grounded and established, I want to talk to you for a little while about rooted. And the problem being instability and the problem being malnourishment. Okay? And there's a lot of things that contribute to that. Sometimes it's the kind of church a Christian goes to. Sometimes it's the pastor where the guy goes to church. Sometimes it's the Bible he's using. Sometimes, and make no bones about it. You know, people say, well, you just think somebody that doesn't use the King James Bible is a second-class Christian. Well, there's a degree of truth to that. And I don't mean that as far as a derogatory thing. It's just that if faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and the Bible you're reading isn't all of the Word of God, then the kind of faith that you're getting is kind of a undermined, pockmarked faith. And then whatever faith then comes out of that makes you what? It makes you less than you woulda, coulda, shoulda been. Not that all of us aren't less than we woulda, coulda, shoulda been, but you don't need a corrupt Bible to undermine it all the more. You don't need a corrupt faith to come out of it all the more. So there's a lot of things that contribute to not being rooted. But I want to take you over to a place, First Kings, make that 2 Kings chapter 19. And I got studying roots a little bit. And when I started studying roots, I just found some simple principles through here. Even if not out of context, but sometimes the context doesn't really address this particular thing as far as narrating the passage. But in 2 Kings chapter 19, this is the passage where King Sennacherib has come, the king of Assyria has come and besieged Hezekiah in Jerusalem. And Hezekiah is, of course, praying, and Sennacherib is camped out there and so on and so forth, and it looks pretty bleak. Turns out to not be bleak at all, because the Lord defeats him without a shot being fired, basically. But, you know, Hezekiah is praying, goes to Isaiah, and so on. The Lord sends word back from Isaiah to Hezekiah, and among the things that he said, and this time he's addressing the king of Assyria, and he talks about how, you know, your rage is against me, and so on and so forth. I'll put my hook in your nose. It's a very pleasant thing. But in verse 30, he says this. Verse 30, he says this about Israel and Judah. Well, particularly Judah. It says, "And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall yet again take root downward and bear fruit upward." Now, like I said, for tonight's purposes, I'm not really all that concerned about the context of the narrative of the passage. I'm just saying, he's saying Judah is once again going to take root downward and bear fruit upward. Well, there's something that I learn about roots there, and that is that roots are downward. Let me talk about downward for a minute. Roots are almost usually always downward, unless you own one of those upside-down tomato plants. And then, of course, the roots are upward, and then you have to store the tomatoes upside down in the can. But usually roots are downward. And I have two or three things to say about these roots being downward. Now, you're supposed to be rooted. If you're not rooted, what's going to happen is you're going to be unstable as a Christian. That is certainly a catastrophe and a tragedy in our day. And you're going to be malnourished. And that's certainly an issue in our day. And one of the ways to avoid that is with the idea of being rooted, is the idea of downward. Now, first of all, when I think of downward, I think about down to earth. Plainly, the roots are down in the earth. And down to earth is where, you know, you get your hands grimy and so on and so forth. It's down where people live. And the reason I say that is because sometimes Bible believers even get off on wacky courses. And they're not down to earth at all about things. And I'm not talking about Christianity always has to be common sense. Because I'll assure you that if you're living the Bible the way the Bible wants you to live it, if you're a Bible believer and you're obeying the Bible, believe me, you're going to be weird enough to them. Without you making the issue worse in a way that God can't honor or bless because you're a crackpot. One of the things that you need to think of with as far as being rooted is the roots are downward. You need to be down to earth. Now, what I mean by that, we knew a guy not too awful long ago. It was a few years now. This guy swore that he hadn't sinned in 15 years. I think he sinned as soon as he said that. And, you know, I know men well enough to know better than that. I didn't say he committed adultery. I didn't say that he committed murder. But I know men, for that matter, I know women better than that. You know, I knew a guy one time, and he had a father-in-law who was one of these crazy guys. And that guy, his father-in-law, swore that he could raise people from the dead. After all, you know, Jesus Christ raised people from the dead. He said that anything that he did, we'd do greater and all that kind of stuff. Give me a break. You're going to truly try to sell me that you can raise people from from that. I'm not talking about spiritually raising people. I'm not talking about giving folks a new birth. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about raising people from the dead. Well, you know what that is? That's not even down to earth. There are a bunch of preachers right now preaching that God wants you healthy always and rich always. Well, none of us are right with God then. See, folks, you've got to be down to earth somewhere. You have to be careful, with conspiracy material. I've always been a little embattled with the whole conspiracy mindset because I know there's a conspiracy. Satan is a conspiracy. I know the Catholic Church is a conspiracy. I don't question the Illuminati and all that. But the more you get in depth and the more you get involved, the wackier and weirder and more useless you get. Because in the end, you wind up paranoid and scared. And then you're not any good because you're just busy sitting around caressing your shotgun. Waiting for the SWAT team to show up. And that's not what the Lord needs. That's not what the Lord needs. I've said all along, look, folks, we've homeschooled our children from day one. We didn't start another way and then go that way. I'm not saying you have to. I'm just saying, I'm just telling you, we're homeschoolers. I'll tell you right now that some of the biggest wackos on the face of this earth are in the homeschool movement. It's the rabid homeschool extremists, you know, and they're going to raise their kids in a sterile bubble and betroth them all. They're going to find them wives and husbands when they're 3 months old. They're going to raise them right, bless God, and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, folks, you got to be down to earth. You got to be down to earth with that stuff, right? Well, it's not only that, though. When I think downward, and you need to be rooted downward, down to earth, it needs to make sense. I don't mean that I'm not saying that common sense rules the Bible, but there's just some discretion and prudence necessary. Now, the next thing that I wanted to say about downward is when I think downward, I think negative. And that reminds me that if you're going to be rooted, you're going to have to be well grounded in negative truth. Now, what I mean by that is that, I tell you what, if you come up to me and say, Brother Stevens, I have some good news and I have some bad news. What do you want first? I can guarantee you what I'm going to tell you. I want the bad news first. Because that's biblical. Did you know that most truths in the Bible come to you, that the negative truth comes first and then you're granted the positive truth? Jeremiah was given his commission. He was told to root out, pull down, destroy, throw down, then build and plant. 4/6 of it was negative. The first 4/6 of it were negative. It had twice as much negative to the positive. It gave you a double dose of negative right at the very beginning before it ever said anything positive. And that's very much like the Bible. All have sinned. That's the first lesson. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the first lesson. It wasn't the first Adam that delivered you. It was the second Adam. It wasn't your first birth that settled things. It's your second birth. It wasn't the first coming of Christ that will settle all things. It's the second coming of Christ that will settle all things. Was it the first son born, Cain? No, it was the second born son, Abel. Right? Usually the first thing is not the best thing. Usually you have to settle for the negative truth first. You have to be lost before you can be saved. You have to be dead in trespasses and sins before you can be made alive. You have to be a wretch before you can be a saint. It's just true. You have to be hell-bound before you can ever get heaven-bound. You've got to turn from something before you turn to something. You have to forsake before you can cleave. You've got to quit before you can start. And you have to be diagnosed before you can get well. Those are all negative truths. Those are all negative truths. One of the things, we live in a day, you know, where old Joel Osteen and those guys get up and blink and talk and yabber about stuff, and it's all positive stuff. And I'll tell you what, folks don't appreciate the positive stuff as they ought because they've not been told the truth about the negative. There's no way you can appreciate the joys and glories of heaven unless you realize how hot hell is. in the fact that you're going there. And you won't ever appreciate your salvation until you first appreciate just how lost you really were. You know, when I think about downward, I think about down to earth. And then I think about negative. And then I think about humility. I mean, with the Lord, down is up. He that exalteth himself shall be abased. But he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. We talked about Ahab this morning. And the Lord gave him mercy when Ahab humbled himself. We talked about Manasseh this morning. God gave him mercy when Manasseh humbled himself greatly. When the Ninevites humbled themselves and fasted in sackcloth and ashes, the Lord granted them grace. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time. Folks, the way down is up. The way down is up. And when I think about being rooted, one of the first words that comes up is root. Being rooted is downward first. And a beautiful tree that stands, you know, 75 feet tall and spans 100 feet in width, if it has 10 feet of roots down and 20 feet of roots wide, it's not going to stand. It's not going to stand. And that downward rooting revolves around humility. It revolves around being down to earth. It revolves around negative truth. And again, all of that is underground. That's that. None of that is anything that you see. Down to earth. Down to earth, you have to be down to earth, not just in the way that you reason outwardly when you're talking to people. You can't be nutty. You can't be a nutty crackpot in your personal thoughts when you're making decisions. I mean, it's possible for you to talk perfectly sane and prudent and discreet when talking to brothers and sisters in Christ, and then think like a crackpot, or think hastily or precipitously in making decisions when you're alone and when you're actually making the decision in your heart. These things are things that are battled out in private. You have to appreciate negative truth, not just in preaching where, yeah, you like to get your hide skin and all that kind of stuff, but secret, you know, when you're home, all you want to hear is the good stuff. You have to be rooted in negative truth in your personal life, in your private life. You got to know you're sorry. You got to know you're a dirtbag. You got to know that you're a sinner. You got to know that you're a fool left to yourself. All right, there's something else that I need you to see. Look in Psalm 80. Psalm 80. Talking about being rooted. Rooted and built up in Him. And established in the faith. And one of the things with roots are that they're downward. They're downward. They're going to get dirty. Psalm 80, and notice verse 9. This is talking about the Lord. The Lord's kind of giving a little parable here of how He took Israel out of Egypt. And here He's calling Israel a vine. Let's start with verse 7. Turn us again, O God of hosts. Cause Thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. That's Israel. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparedst a room before it. And it's caused it to take deep root, and it filled the land. Now, not only are roots downward, roots need to be deep. Roots need to be deep. If you buy a lot that has a bunch of oaks on it, and you're going to build a house on that lot, and the bulldozers and all the construction equipment go through there, even if they don't bulldoze down or wound the trees and their trunks and stuff, you're probably going to lose a lot of those oak trees. Because oaks, while the oak roots are broad, they're also shallow. And so bulldozers and construction equipment run over those roots. And even if it's a year later or whatever, the roots are damaged enough that it kills the tree. All right? In other words, it's better to have a deep root system than a wide one. Now, folks, I heard a guy preaching one time about actually Noah's Ark. And he started out, he said, are you in? You know, in Christ. And then he said, are you in far? And there's something to be said for that. Because, you know, folks, one of the things that I've learned about folks is that they tend to be superficial. Now, what I mean by that is, now I understand, I mean that they tend to be superficial spiritually. Now, when it comes to football, they're not superficial. I mean, Green Bay Packer fan, you know, middle-aged, 55-year-old guy, otherwise sane, takes off his shirt, paints his belly green, and wears cheese on his head in public. All right? I mean, he's not superficial when it comes to the Packers. All right? Not superficial then. Folks tend not to be superficial when it comes to their gambling. When it comes to their fishing now, fishermen are not superficial. They're in far. They're in deep. Now, I've learned about things spiritually that folks tend to want to keep the Lord at a distance. And when it comes to when it comes to being real committed, folks tend to want to take it real slow and just, try it and test it and taste it. I got news for you. The Lord doesn't like that. Doesn't like it at all. For instance, the Lord is going to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. And when he delivers them, he takes them completely out somewhere where there's no water and there's no food and there's nobody, and they're going to die if they try to walk out of there all alone. I mean, he took them out deep. When he got ready to take them into the land of Canaan, you know, some of those guys, you know, sit around, he says, okay, we're going to go into the land of Canaan. The guy says, okay, we'll go in. And, we'll try to buy out those Canaanites and, you know, try to move them off and see if we can just kind of move them. He says, no, that's not what you're going to do. You're going to kill them. You're going to kill them all. You're going to kill everything that breathes is what you're going to do. You mean, you know, we have to be really fanatical about it. Yeah, you got to be really fanatical. You got to be sold out. You got to be in this thing deep. You're going to kill these people. Jesus Christ came along and walked up to a guy doing his job at a table and says, you, follow me. You know, not pack up your money. You know, get up, let's go. He walks up to a guy that owns a fishing company and says, you, let's go, follow me. In other words, folks, there's something that you need to understand. The Lord wants you in deep. He doesn't want you in superficial. He doesn't want you in when you feel like it. He doesn't want you in just when it feels good. Spiritually, man wants to dink around with spirituality. He wants to putter. He wants to just try it out and taste it and dabble and prefer and not commit and those sort of things. And I'm telling you that the Lord is not interested in that kind of stuff. Folks, for all these years, what Blessed Hope Baptist Church has stood for, what we've tried to do is, you know, we're not interested in the superficial, you know, just attendance thing. We don't care about having a big day, because if we had 300 people here on a big day, we know full well they're not all coming back next week, so why mess with it? We want Christians, we want people to come in and be serious about serving Jesus Christ. I mean, they're not just in, but they're in deep. They're not just rooted a little. They're not just rooted wide. They're rooted deep. That's what we want. Some of these ministries, some of the churches that some of y'all have gone to, that's why the ministries with the rock bands, the ministries with the contemporary services, the ministries with the laser light shows, the ministries with the coffee shops, you know, built around Wi-Fi libraries in their churches, with, you know, all these different kinds of things going on and marketing surveys and stuff. That's the reason why they have a revolving door all the time of people coming and going. There's adultery and all kinds of unnecessary claptrap going on, because they're not building deep Christians. They're building superficial ones. And as soon as somebody says something to offend somebody, there's a whole group of them going to leave. Say, what's the point, Brother Stephen? But the point is, Jesus Christ wants you rooted and grounded and established. And when you start looking at words, one of the things with rooted is downward. One of the things with rooted is deep. Now, are you deep or are you dabbling? Well, you're here on Sunday night. So I know that most of you are here and you're in deep. I know that you're in and you're committed. So I'll just tell you this. You're doing the right thing. That's what the Lord wants. That's what the Lord intended. I can't personally imagine having church services on Sunday where we have, we don't have Sunday night service because nobody comes back. But we'll have three services in the morning, but it's all the same service. And you know, you have one service a week, and that's supposed to suffice people. Where is the burden for teaching the Word of God? Where is the burden for preaching the truth with that? All right, there's something else that comes up with this. Look in Psalm 1. I'll warn you. In Psalm 1, the word root is not present. But I've long seen the roots here. I'm talking about you being rooted. Rooted downward. Rooted deep. And then in Psalm 1:1, you know the passage. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Okay, here it comes. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So this guy is like a tree, right? Okay, now, like a tree, he's planted by rivers of water. He brings forth his fruit in his season, so he has fruit. His leaf also shall not wither. So he's a big leafy tree. Above the ground you see this guy, and this tree is a big, beautiful, foliated green tree, and on top of it, it's some sort of a tree with fruit on it. So he's bringing forth fruit, what a tree should do. Now, it tells you down in verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. So, whether those rivers are below ground or whatever, he's by the rivers of water. Okay, tell me this. What are the rivers of water? Verse 2. The law of the Lord is the rivers of water. I mean, he is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Why? Because his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law of the Lord, he meditates day and night, and he's planted by that river. It's the law of the Lord. Do you find any roots in that passage? I believe that the roots are his delight. Verse 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord. It's his delight that sucks that law up, and he meditates on it and thinks about it and takes it and makes it part of his life and is nourished in it and cherishes it. It's his delight. So I'll tell you this. One of the things that comes up in my mind when I think about being rooted is downward, deep, and delight. Delight. I have a lot of fundamental Baptist King James Bible believing friends that I fellowship with here and there. We go to camp with folks. I meet up with folks here and yon and so on. And I'll tell you what I've learned through the years about a lot of your contemporaries in churches not that unlike ours. They are unstable, and they're malnourished. Okay? They're unstable and they're malnourished. They are King James Bible wavers. They're separated. They love the Bible. They love God. They love souls. And I don't want you to misunderstand. They are serious. They're serious about what they're doing. They really are. But I've noticed that there is kind of a process that happens sometimes. We're in churches like that where things become just rigid. It becomes a thing where we've done it this way, and this is the way we do it. because the pastor says that's the way we should do it, and that's the way we did it when the last pastor was here. And it gets rigid. And the pastors, in the end, if they're not careful, in order to keep things in order, again, you've got to understand the people are not stable and they're malnourished. And malnourished sheep that are unstable don't stay bunched well. And so then the shepherd has to go out and start whacking them on the nose and tying them up and stuff and doing things that you know, he would prefer to not have to do so. And since they're not contented sheep, he has to do that. And so a lot of times in even some of the churches of guys that I consider friends, there's an element entered in where the pastor has to impress everybody with his authority, and he has to exert authority often to keep things together. And I noticed that a lot of times a pastor has to enforce, far more than we ever do here, have to enforce standards of separation. When it comes time, you know, somebody called today, after I announced baptism this morning, somebody called today and says, "Oh, Pastor, I was hoping that it wasn't too late to get on that baptism list because I really want to get baptized." You realize that there are places where the pastor has to shame people into getting baptized. Now, let me ask you a question. What is that all about? What is it all about when, you know, a guy promotes and works and works and drives himself into a frenzy, and they wind up with a couple hundred people there on a Sunday morning, but Sunday night at 6 o'clock, there's 37 people there. And on Wednesday night, there's 14. What's going on? I tell you, folks, what I believe is going on. What's going on is somewhere along the way, both the congregation and the pastor are no longer delighting in the word of the Lord. They're not delighting in the law of the Lord. And the pastor's not feeding the flock. He's preaching salvation to them. He's preaching separation to them. And he's wailing away on them about stewardship and giving and you need to be there and shaming them into it. But when it comes to a deeper feeding where sheep, people, and trees are bringing forth fruit because they're well fed and they want to, that's not present because they're not being fed. And it's not just the pastor's fault, because those folks themselves aren't taking delight in the Word of God themselves. You know, half the time here, you know, I'll go in and sit down in the office, do something real quick, you know, after service or whatever. It's not all that uncommon at all for somebody to come to the door with an open Bible and say, "You know, I just saw something tonight. I just thought I'd like to ask you something." Blah, 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 blah. And we sit up and talk Bible for 10 minutes. You know, that doesn't happen a lot in a lot of other places. Now, look, I'm not trying to lift up our church above others, but I am trying to say that if you want to be rooted and grounded and established, one of the things you need constantly, and that your pastor needs constantly, is to delight in the Word of the Lord. I don't mean wave it and say I love it. I don't mean bang it and say this is it. I mean that alone, by himself, and you alone, by yourself, you love it, and you delight in it, and you find stuff in it that you never saw before. And it's so cool. You need that. And the day you lose that is the day that you start spiraling down instead of going up, because you need that. So I just am afraid if I find too much in it that I'll, you know, expend all that's in it, then I'll never be able to find anything else in it. You should worry about that. You really should. All right, there's something else I need you to say. Well, let's go back to our original text, Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2, and when I think about being rooted, one of the words that comes up in the Scriptures when you study it is downward. And then one of the words that comes up is deep. And one of the words that comes up is delighted. And then one of the words that comes up doesn't start with a D. Sorry. Colossians 2:7. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. The next thing that comes up in studying this thing is the person. Folks, it's rooted and built up in Him. Okay? You're rooted in Him and established in the faith, but you're rooted in Him. And it's important not to forget that. The day that you start coming to church as a social club, primarily, as a place to be with friends and to not be lonely, there are worse motives for coming to church, but there certainly are better ones. And the day that you start approaching the church as a social club is the day that you start again on a downward spiral as far as being rooted is concerned. The day that you start coming to church on a regular, everybody comes to church out of duty and responsibility once in a while because you're sick, you don't feel well, you had a bad day, your back hurts, whatever. But the day that on a regular basis, on a week-to-week basis, you start coming to church out of duty is the day that you start on a downward spiral. The day that you come because you feel a responsibility to bring the kids and expose them to the things of the Lord is the day that you start down on a downward spiral. The day that you just show up to church because your parents have always gone to this church and you know how disappointed your parents will be if they don't see you is the day that you start down on a downward spiral. The day that you approach church, this thing as it's a religious duty, is the day that you are no longer rooted in Him. And the reason, I'll lay this at the feet of a lot of folks that we consider, for the most part, our friends, as far as in the faith is concerned, as far as being the right kind of church with the right Bible and generally the right kind of doctrine and so on. And the day that folks come to church because the church has a guy that's the pastor, and that pastor is basically a cult personality to you. You know, you just feel this loyalty to the pastor. He led me to Christ, and he baptized me, and he's a great man of God, and he's in the sword of the Lord, and all those things, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. Like I said, there may be worse reasons to come for a while. But if that's the reason you're coming on a regular basis, you're coming for the wrong reasons. I'll tell you this right now. Right now, where you need to be rooted is in Him. You're rooted in Him. And I'll tell you this. We said from the beginning that all this root system, it's all underground. You know, I have a gigantic elm right beside my garage. I don't ever see anything that goes on underground at all. I can't even imagine how deep and how wide the root system of that thing is. So far as I know, it hasn't eaten into the walls of my house, which is a good thing, because then I'd have to cut it down. But, I mean, all that stuff goes on underground. Now, I'll tell you this. When it comes to the kind of relationship that you have with Jesus Christ, being rooted depends on you being rooted in Him. And, you know, I appreciate your faithfulness here. When you say amen, I appreciate it. When you laugh, when I tell a bad joke, I appreciate it. When you say amen, when I say something good, I appreciate it. When you're involved, I appreciate it. When you're faithful, I appreciate it, and all that kind of stuff. But I'll tell you this. If it isn't going on underground, you're missing out. Because you need to be rooted in Him. But the show is not the issue. It's what kind of relationship you have with Him underground. There's something else. Look in Romans 11. Just a couple other things real quick. Romans 11. And again, a context that really doesn't have a lot to do with doctrinally with what we're talking about, other than the fact that it uses the metaphor of a tree or a vine or whatever. I'll look in Romans chapter 11. And this time, verse 16. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. If the root be holy, so are the branches. If some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, that's us, the Gentiles, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree. That's Israel. We were grafted into Israel, right? We're grafted into the grace of God that way. Verse 18, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. What I wanted you to see is back in 16, I recognize the context of the passage, but I also recognize that it says in verse 17 that if some of the branches be broken off, verse 16, for if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. If the root be holy, so are the branches. Rooted and built up in Him. One of the things that comes up with being rooted is holy. The roots are supposed to be holy. The roots are supposed to be holy to your Christian life. And if the roots aren't holy, then you're missing out. And once again, all this is underground. We talked this morning about repentance, right? And how, repentance is one of those things that easily becomes ritual. Because, well, you're not supposed to smoke if you're a Christian. And I don't question that you're not. And so there are a lot of people that don't smoke because you're not supposed to smoke if you're a Christian. But if folks weren't watching, and if you didn't have somebody peering over your shoulder all the time, you would smoke, even though you're a Christian. Right? And so what that proves is that you repented outwardly, ritually, and it'll save your lungs. But your motives stink. Because what's supposed to happen is you're supposed to change inside. And if anything, the change inside should preclude and go before. And there may be a hesitation or a time lapse between it changing outside. But you're supposed to have the conviction that smoking's wrong if you're a Christian. And then you're supposed to quit smoking because smoking's wrong if you're a Christian. And if the rest of the Christians around you are smoking, you ain't smoking because you're not supposed to smoke if you're a Christian. And so it's possible to do this repentance thing as an outward thing. And more, of course, that's what happens is you're not supposed to. You've got to quit that. You've got to start that. And by the time it's all over with, you just have people jumping through hoops just so they line up with everybody outside. We talked about that this morning. Well, folks, it ties into being holy because this holiness thing, this all goes on underground. What really matters, and it's not that your testimony doesn't matter, but what really matters more is what goes on underground. What matters for a Christian is what goes on underground when nobody's around, when nobody's watching, when nobody's seeing. And you're supposed to be holy when nobody's around. And if your rootedness and your groundedness and your steadfastness is supposed to come out of you being holy and wanting to do right and to be right when nobody's peering over your shoulder. Right? And if you're just doing it because somebody's peering over your shoulder, you're not rooted and you're not grounded and you're not established. You're doing the thing outwardly because somebody's peering over your shoulder. And that means that when they're not, you're going to go back. And that's just going to prove that you weren't rooted. I have one last thing to say. Look at Ephesians 3 and then I'm done. Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. So you're supposed to be rooted in love. In Christ, but in love. But being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, when I think about that, to know the love of Christ, think about what Paul said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering. plainly, you know, Paul's goal in life was as much as he had seen Christ when he got saved, or seen a vision of Christ when he got saved, and as closely as he knew Christ all those years, he was still laboring to know Him. Right? And I read that there, and it says, yes, you're supposed to be rooted and grounded in love. But he goes on, it says, that you may be able to comprehend. In other words, you're laboring to try to get your mind around some things. To comprehend the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. You might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, you understand that somebody just coming to a altar all teary and saying, oh Lord, help me get to know You better, is one thing. But to endeavor at 11 o'clock in the morning when you just hit your thumb with a hammer, to make this still real, to know the love of Christ with passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God, you may be able to comprehend with all saints. You understand what that means. When I find rooted and grounded in love here, there's something else that's attached to it. It's about being focused. It's about being engaged. And by engaged, I mean when you get up on Monday morning and you really don't want to go to work at all, whatever else is the case, you're engaged in the pursuit of knowing Jesus Christ. Not just resting in what He did for you and that you know you're saved and you know you're always going to be saved. But that you're engaged in the pursuit of knowing Him better, of growing in grace and knowledge, of making progress today, this week. It's about being engaged. And you know what, folks? If you're engaged, I'm not talking about to be married. If you're engaged in the sense of being focused, and you have a vision, you're going to do well spiritually. Anybody knows that an army that sits around with nothing to do, that's bored, that's just training all the time, everybody knows that that army goes stale. The same thing is true with you if you simply just reside in, I'm saved, baptized, eternally secure, glory to God. It's all pretty good. But if you're not engaged, you are not as rooted as you should be. Folks, all these things go on underground. All the rootedness issues, they all go on underground. And what goes on underground eventually makes its way up above ground, and then some of the limbs start dying, and then folks on the outside start to see that some of the fruit isn't what it ought to be. And that some of the limbs, some of the leaves are drying up and withering and that kind of thing. And so then folks outside can begin to tell that things are going awry underground. But things go awry underground a long time before they go awry above ground. Right? Let's bow our heads. The piano begins to play here for just a few minutes. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. If the Lord spoke to you tonight, hope that you'll consider coming. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. Paul said we're to be rooted. Those roots are downward. They're deep. It revolves around delight. Revolves around a person. Revolves around holiness. It revolves around being engaged, focused. Father, we pray that You'll honor the Word of God preached. Here are just some random thoughts and some things put together. Father, I pray that You'll challenge us down where the roots grow. Not just outwardly, not just for the show of preaching. Not just for the excitement, not just for the fellowship of being here, but down where the roots grow, we pray that You would challenge us and make us better down there. We're not just out to improve somebody's appearance on the outside, the foliage and the fruit although we hope that some of that might happen, we certainly hope that it will begin with the roots. Pray you'll be merciful to us. Speak to every heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Let's remain our heads bowed, our eyes closed here for just a couple minutes. Let's look this way. Number 414, let's stand. Number 414. Jessica's card back there on the back. And any of you guys that are interested, you don't have to consider yourself a preacher or anything. Any of you guys that are interested in maybe that Halloween night thing, if you want to mention to me that you're interested, we'll get a clue of how many guys are interested, and then we'll kind of decide what to do. So let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for a good day today. Appreciate a good showing here in the midst of all the sickness and illness. We'll ask once again for you to have mercy on everybody that's under the weather, protect those that are healthy, Father. We'd like to keep folks working and doing what they ought to be doing. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.